Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hitting that play button once again for another episode of the Hedy Coleman Podcast, where I provide you content so that you can go win. And one of the ways that I provide that content is partnering up and having great conversations with awesome individuals that I get the opportunity to maybe admire them through social media. I may know them personally. I may have gotten to know them because of me being out and about greeting and just learning about people's story. And then I bring them on to this podcast so we can have a conversation so that you can do three things, ladies and gentlemen. There's three things that I hope that you get from this. One is that you learn something, that you walk away and have discovered maybe some right things that you can be consistent in order for you to go out and go win. Two is inspiration, you being inspired by these individual stories, because inspiration is a good thing. I believe in more so inspiration than motivation. Sometimes we just need to be inspired. And the third thing is that you connect in some way with the individuals that I have these conversations with, because I have learned that it's all about relationships, ladies and gentlemen. Oftentimes, our greatest opportunities are going to come because of who we know. And another thing, community always wins. I believe that once we are in a great community and we start connecting in that way, we all win. And today, ladies and gentlemen, today I have the one and only John Ochgen with me. And I am so excited for you to be able to listen in on this conversation, because I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, this guy is juggling some things. This is the kind of guy that he says, I left my laptop in Oklahoma. He's in Dallas. He's just going to drive down. He's just going to come get his laptop 3 hours away, a little under 3 hours away. He's going to make that drive. John, how are you doing today?
I'm great, man. It's exciting to be here. It's nice to start out my day with your positive energy.
Well, that's
going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day.
Well, I'm excited to be able to have you. I've admired you from a distance, kind of just learning about the things that you do and continue to learn more, you know. And so I'm excited to jump into this. You know, I like to sometimes ask people, because I admire people. I see them as adults, them, and have made some life, have had some life experience. They're no longer child. What would have people who have known you since you were a kid, what would they have said you would be today then, on you being a kid?
I would say, you know, probably either in some sort of political office, which I'm not, or running some sort of business.
Okay.
Or running, organizing something.
Why is that? What was it about you as a kid that you feel like they would have said those things?
I was never really interested in like classroom learning or anything like that. I was always interested in the doing portion of life and working and figuring things out and gaining the knowledge. If I didn't know how to do something, I was going to figure it out pretty quick. I like to know how to do as many different things. I like that knowledge, whether I actually do it or I hire someone to do it. But I'd like to know how things work and how they function and how all the pieces fit together is really important to me.
Yeah. So what do you do now? Were they spot on? What do you do now? Who is John today?
Definitely. I do that now. I have the pleasure and with some great business partners to be involved in two restaurants in Oklahoma City, a consultant for a bicycle shop in Oklahoma City, worked in oil and gas as a vice president, overseeing operations support, which is basically all the functions that feed into and support operations and sales. So, you know, overseeing HR and the fleet and all these different things. A very, very diverse career with a lot of moving parts. I get bored very easily. And so I like to have as many things going on. It keeps me fresh.
Yeah, man, that sounds all like that. You just made me tired. how long have you been in the oil and gas portion of things? Because right now, and oil and gas has always had this up and down.
Yeah.
So how long have you been involved, and what have been some of the? Is this the craziest you've seen it?
I kind of came into it late. I had worked in ministry in the church world for probably 10 years and then stepped out of that. I had been doing freelance marketing and stuff for oil and gas companies while working in ministry, but stepped out in, I guess it would be 2011 maybe. And that's the first time I got into it from the marketing portion of it. So I haven't seen all the ups and downs. I've been through two of them in my short oil and gas career, but it's definitely an interesting business. It's one that I kind of love and hate at the same time. So it's definitely taught me a lot about business and about people and about just kind of that industry. Is it's a very interesting industry.
Yeah, for sure. It very much so is. And Oklahoma depends on it in such a strong way that when we do have these moments of oil and gas not being there, we almost go into crisis mode. Yeah. However, the whole world right now is crisis mode. But we definitely can find ourselves there when the oil and gas industry is down. When you're talking about marketing, like, how did you get into being able to market for somebody, and what is marketing to you, and what has that looked like for you?
I love design. I'm very into the aesthetics of things, how things look, and how a company is presented. So, from the oil and gas perspective, I was hired to be, for Aubrey McClendon to basically put together his presentations that he would go out on the road and present. So framed all the presentations that he would give, and any executive within the company would give. I basically designed their presentation with the content that they wanted, helped them craft the message and present that in a compelling way. We've all been through a bad PowerPoint presentation, and that is one thing that I can't stand. too many words, you know, PowerPoint presentations that repeat exactly what you're saying. It's like those slides are not there to be read, because if they were there to be read, then why are you there giving the presentation? So just getting people to think in the right mindset of like, okay, you're that presentation behind you is there to amplify your message, not to deliver your message. And so it's just that thinking that we had to get into some VPs heads and executives heads. But that's but marketing to me is basically taking a tangible, you know, maybe an intangible product or which is, you know, an oil and gas company. It's like, what is it? It's, you know, it's just a bunch of assets and drilling rigs and stuff that's, you know, may or may not make money. And how do you communicate that message out there? What does natural gas potentially mean to the country and to the individual? So I just enjoy the aesthetics of it and delivering a compelling message about the product or service that you provide.
Yeah. What are some key things when you're thinking about messaging? What are some key things that you've learned to make that easy for you? Because messaging is not easy. Like, being able to really get the messaging out there that you want around whatever product or your brand or whatever, like, that's not something, like, I feel like I've been trying to work on my go win messaging forever. And it never gets easy. It's not easy when I talk to other people trying to discover those right things. And it may be something that you always tweak, but what are some tips that, like, somebody's listening to you right now, which I think is great, that you can provide to help people with their messaging? What is something that you would suggest to us?
I think the one thing that, and this is ripped straight from Steve Jobs and Apple, is that they always deliver their message in the headline. So, you know, they don't talk about the specs of their product. they talk about the when they release a product, they tell you what's the headline. And so if, like, for the iPod, for example, it was like 10,000 songs in your pocket. And so that basically then every newspaper and publication and blog in the world ran 10,000 songs in your pocket, which everyone can relate to. So it's really distilling your message down to the headline. You know, you've probably heard elevator pitches and things like that. I mean, it's like even an even shorter version of that is the headline. So what is the headline for Go Win? What is, if somebody was going to write an article about you, what would you want that headline in the newspaper, blog, magazine, whatever it is, what would you want that to read? And is it simple enough that pretty much anybody can grab hold of it? You know, stay away from the specs. That can be later. Just focus on the headline and then build from there.
That's good. Who else do you see? You mentioned Apple. Who else do you think has some good messaging, and you can give an example of it?
Who else has good messaging out there? Off the top of my head, I've gone blank. I mean, obviously I love Apple a lot. And they're, you know, from a consumer products company, they do a fantastic job. I think that you've stopped me on that one.
Give me an example of one that you've helped create. Like, is there something that you can speak to, like, that you've helped somebody with some good messaging, and kind of how did you get to that place of doing that for them?
Well, we did for Red Rooster, which is one of the restaurants that I'm a part of. You know, that bar has been around since the 30s and has a rich history. It's been a lot of different things. I mean, it's always been, you know, a bar and a gathering place for the community. And, you know, in recent history, it's, you know, was more of a dive bar, but it had a family element to it. People really loved it. When we were redoing it, people would come in and, like, actually kind of tear up looking at it being redone and looking way different than what they remembered. But when we started peeling back the onion, there was this beautiful terrazzo floor underneath some carpet that was glued down that we restored. The drop ceiling revealed this ornate tin ceiling that was hidden that we were able to restore. So we were able to take we didn't put any of those things in. Those things were there. They were just covered up. And so we kind of, and the Red Rooster is not in the Paseo. It's technically in Edgemere. And so as a way to kind of tie into being off the Paseo and then not being exactly what many people may have remembered the Red Rooster as, we've kind of came up with the tagline, just a bit off. So just a bit off the Paseo, just a bit off what it was before, you know, and you know, our take on drinks and our take on food and the way we do things is just a bit off, because we wanted that fun family element, community gathering place element, but we didn't want to take ourselves too seriously and wanted to have some, you know, freedom within that, you know, to allow, you know, our great staff to be able to be who they are within the space and our guests to be who they are within the space. And it is a different venue now. I mean, it's still the same name, but it still can be the place that it was before, just a bit off.
Yeah. I like that. That's really good. I love the place. I've been there a couple of times. Fabulous place. Since the pandemic, like, this is kind of off subject, but since the pandemic, restaurants have been kind of impacted the most because of just social distancing and things of that nature.
Yeah.
What has been some of y'all's ability to sustain? Like, did y'all do something to pivot? Like, I know a lot of people were doing curbside. Like, what were some things that y'all did, and how did y'all kind of come to those places to help maintain your business?
Yeah. So we initially, gosh, I mean, it seems like this has been going on for years, but it's only been a few months, but
yeah.
Initially we just kind of closed down the dining room and moved to a curbside system. Once it was kind of evident that this was not going to end anytime soon. We kind of worked through our staff and as a team to figure out what we wanted to do, and made the decision that it was best to close down for a minute and kind of basically come up with a better system, because, you know, there was a lot of things that were unknown at the time, and there are still things that are unknown, but we wanted to get our heads around it. Our staff was concerned because, you know, we didn't know how hard this was, you know, going to hit. And so it was just best, let's just shut this down for a little bit and then regroup with a plan. So we've come back. As far as Red Rooster goes, we're back open with patio dining. It's all contactless. You know, you scan a QR code at your table, that brings up our website, and you can order everything from the website. And then they prepare it inside in all compostable containers. They bring it out to a table. So there's no contact between the guests and the staff, and all those tables are spaced out. So we're doing the social distancing. We're doing the contactless system right now. So you can eat it there, or you can take it home. We're also doing larger family meals that are themed every single week. So whether it's a Korean barbecue night or a fried chicken night, or right now we're running a completely amazing vegetarian option. That's, you know, we've always been focused on the seasons and what's in season, and working with local farmers and ranchers to be able to buy their products. So we've got a lot of fresh local produce in to do some really great vegetarian dishes. So you could order for, you know, a family of four. He basically tells how many you have, and we provide everything. So it's the entree, the dessert, the sides, as well as, you know, beer and wine, you know, whatever, you know, and drink options as well to go with that. And then similar situation at Holy Rollers. We've opened the, kind of, it's a hybrid with that. So we do the same online ordering system, and you can, it basically have it, you can walk in, grab it and go. But we also do have our, just the kind of the cafe portion of Holy Rollers back open. And we're allowing one guest in at a time. Our seating area is closed, but that's been converted into kind of a bookstore right now. So we're processing through it. And you've seen a lot of other restaurants in Oklahoma City that are doing similar. We've got restaurants that are combining forces. And so everybody's learning and filling this out as they go.
Yeah.
And I don't know how sustainable all this is long-term, and especially if this ramps back up in the fall, if we see the cases are obviously declining right now, which is great because people are wearing their mask and people are doing what they need to be doing. But if it'll be interesting to see what happens in the fall or even the winter, when obviously I can't have patio dining when it's Oklahoma winter. So it'll be interesting to see how things progress and change in the fall.
And yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. I hadn't seen anybody combining forces, but that's cool to kind of come alongside one another, to be able to support each other during these times. And
right, right.
I guess you kind of too, both when you combine, you get each other's audiences, I guess, as well.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And kind of, is that the thought in some of that?
Yeah, and then some of it's within the same group. So you've got, you know, restaurants that have two different concepts that are kind of switching things up and moving them around. And so, you know, making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad that people are figuring out some things. So is there some things too, like, that you have learned during this time that you all would keep? Like, if, let's say everything goes back to normal tomorrow, but you like, well, you know what? We're going to keep doing this. Have you all learned any of those kind of things?
Yeah, I think it's how to adapt quickly and how to listen to the community and listen to your staff. And ultimately make, you know, this is not a, the margins in restaurants are already razor thin. And then couple on top of that, you know, a major decline in revenue, especially not being able to have people in your dining room. And our dining room, you've been there, it's small. And so to open our dining room at a 25% capacity to be able to do proper social distancing and things like that, it doesn't work. And so it's just being scrappy. And I think those lessons definitely help you not take anything for granted, and always be ready to adapt. And now you've kind of been through it. And so it's like, okay, what's next? You know, we can handle this, because now we've been through a pandemic. What's the next challenge? And I think just having that resilience that's developed through this process is going to be beneficial. We're already working on some other concepts and other business ideas that have come out of this. You know, we ran the Paseo Farmers Market, and still do, out of Red Rooster, because basically all these farmers and ranchers that were selling to the Red Rooster and going to farmers markets and selling to all these different places lost all that, I mean, overnight. And so we wanted to be able to fill that void and continue to be able to provide local produce and local products to the community. And so that, you know, that led to drive-through contactless pickup of your farmers market items through a setup drive-through basically at Red Rooster. So definitely getting creative, and these things that we've seen and what we know that the community wants and needs are going to lead to new business opportunities in the future that will benefit the community.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot, you know?
Yeah. When you look back at it, you're like, oh, wow. Okay.
It's amazing. Like, it's only been a few months, but you've come to this place to where you're now doing all these different things that you never would have thought of, that you would be doing of right, just 5 months ago.
Right. And I have to give, like, I cannot take credit for, I could take very credit for very little of this. My business partner, Andrea, and her husband, Josh, are amazing. And I mean, her vision and what she's doing is amazing. And I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, I know, that's right. That's how I am most of the time too. I'm like, I didn't come up with any of this. I just so happened to have good friends or good relationships, you know, kind of goes back to those relationships. And kudos to you for having them, you know, or forming them, you know. And so that sometimes that's the hard part for people, is just really managing those relationships. And so,
right.
Yeah. So kudos to you for being able to have those types of relationships in your life. Whenever you think about, so one of the things talking about Go Win is we talk about people having a win, you know, and so I would imagine that for you, a win was to have a restaurant or be a part of something of this nature. And I'm going to ask another question here in a bit, but let's specifically say a restaurant. That's a win, to start a restaurant. What would you say are some right things that you all are consistent in, and you all are intentional about being consistent in these things in order to have a successful restaurant pre-pandemic, you know, like what are some things that you all really are being intentional about being consistent in when you think about having a restaurant?
Yeah. We always wanted to be a community gathering place, a neighborhood, you know, tavern was always the vision. And that's, we've always been that. I mean, we're welcome. Everyone is welcome at Red Rooster. But also we've always been, you know, consistent about the quality of what we provide. You know, we don't have a soda fountain machine. You can't order a Coca-Cola in the restaurant. We do have soft drinks available, but that's just not something that we offer. All of our beef and everything we bring in, poultry and everything is 100%, you know, pasture raised from local farmers and ranchers specifically. And we've been very intentional about just the quality of the food that, we have. You know, we get it from that's just our approach, and that you know, we wanted that. Our style is different. It's just a bit off. I mean, we never wanted to be a Chili's. We never wanted to be like every other restaurant in town. And there are some fantastic restaurants in town. I'm not saying taking away from anything that anybody else is doing. But you know, we get pushback from that. People don't understand, you know, what's the difference between your burger and that burger? It's like, you know, you'll get a bad review and you're like, man, and if you just talk to us and hear our story, why that is like it is, you know, instead of just hopping on Google and, you know, ranting it with a one star. I mean, it's just so despite of all that, we have remained consistent, and this is what we're doing, and it's working. I mean, it was, you know, everything was in line and looking really good, and then the pandemic hit, so obviously took a hit from that, but it's still working, and people still, you know, we have our audience, we have the people that love it, and there's people that are discovering what we're doing every single day and liking it as well. So, you know, that's the big thing, is being consistent, like staying true to what you wanted to do. And, you know, you may get a few naysayers here and there, and that's okay. But staying consistent and doing what you know is right and what's right for the community is always a win.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you're saying those things, is that branding to you? Like, once you're consistent in doing these things, that's kind of what people are going to say about you when they walk away from the restaurant. So that consistency becomes your brand, so absolutely, to speak, as Red Rooster, right?
Yeah, it's definitely an element of our brand. I mean, obviously, a brand is not just a logo. You know, the logo is everything, signifies what we represent. So when you look at the name or hear the name Red Rooster, you're like, oh, man, I love those Scallion Tacos. Oh, man, they have the best vegan dishes. Oh, man, I love their old-fashioned. You know, all these different things. You know, I like, man, their bar staff, Jared's amazing. So it's all those things that we hope that all fit into the brand as a whole. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just one, it's one thing. You know, it's our commitment to our guests. It's our commitment to our community. You know, we aim to be good neighbors, and we're pretty cool and we're easy to talk to. We'd love to tell you our story. And so we just hope more and more people, become open to that and take time to listen, because, you know, every restaurant's different, and the great thing is we have so many. What's amazing about Oklahoma City is there's so many restaurants that are locally owned. I mean, we still have our chains and everything, but man, it is such an entrepreneurial restaurant town, which it didn't used to be. There used to be very little restaurants, and now it's like, wow, we opened up and I think we opened up, and then Frida opened up like 2 months later, Gun opened up a month later. And so, and these are all just in the Paseo. That's not including other districts and stuff within the city. So it's just really cool to see that creative and entrepreneurial spirit happening within the restaurant community, for sure.
And do you have pushback? So I'm in a smaller community, Guthrie, and sometimes we think if we start a donut shop, somebody starts a donut, another person starts a donut shop, we kind of like, man, why are you starting another, you know, if they're doing something differently, that should be okay. Do you find that because of these other restaurants, it helps your business?
I think that what is it? High tide lifts all boats. You know,
yeah.
I think that it is. I think that, you know, obviously there, you know, there's only so much capacity for restaurants within a community, and it is going to, you know, it is going to impact, because you have so many choices. Like, where are we going to eat tonight? You know? And so, yeah, I mean, for people to come back, cause they've got to hit all these other restaurants and new restaurants, you know, cause you've got, oh, this, that new restaurant down the street just opened up. Let's go try it. Okay. They tried it. And now it may be a little bit before they get back to, you know, your restaurant. So yeah, there is definitely that, but I think it's, if the more restaurants, and I don't think that we just keep building them like crazy, but
yeah.
I think that having really unique and interesting and locally owned restaurants is a good thing, because it gets people out and in their community and enjoying different restaurants. I think it does. I think it does help everybody to have a thriving restaurant community that's good. And specifically, like, and also, like, you know, we have Holy Rollers, which is a donut shop, but it's a vegan donut shop. And you know, they're all made from scratch, and they don't come out of a bag. So yeah, our donuts are more expensive. But we're not competing against Dunkin'. We're not competing against Hertz, because those are different products. And so nothing against any of those, nothing against anything. It's just, they're not in the same, they're not in the same category. And that's what's so cool about it. It's like, man, if you're hungry for a Hertz donut, you're going to go to Hertz and you can get them 24 hours a day, I believe. If you're hungry for a Holy Rollers donut, you're going to go there. If that's, you know, people that want to be gluten free and want to all these different things, you know, that's, we're just a different niche within the donut scene. And we just have a different product, and that's,
yeah.
And it's great.
So going back to PowerPoints, because, you know, I go out not and I get to speak sometimes, and people invite me to come out and speak, and I'm so not a PowerPoint guy, but I get them. But when I think about a PowerPoint, I just think of pictures.
Yeah.
So I just like to have some photos. I don't want any text. If so, very little, maybe whatever that. So if you're doing, hey, here are five things, maybe I just have the word, like, for example, I do a 10 right things talk around community building. And so, and I have these, and I spell out the word engagement through my talk. And so I have each word means, you know, and I just use pictures, and then I just have that word. What would you say about something? These are selfish questions, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so sorry. We're going to go back to me just being selfish. What would be some pointers around just, you kind of given some, but anything else on PowerPoints? And I'm just wondering, this is a selfish question.
Well, I would say, okay, the first thing is no more than 7 words on a slide.
Okay, no more than 7 words.
No more than 7. Just get that in your head. No more than 7. If you can't, the audiences that are listening to you, they're there to listen to you give your message. You can't, I mean, studies show that you cannot, I'm missing something. If I'm reading the slide, I'm not listening to you, or vice versa. So the point of the slide is to amplify your message, and, you know, one point, and, you know, a photograph. I mean, a photograph says so much. You know, getting really good photography can really enhance what you're saying. If you need words, great. Single words are great. But there are sometimes, like, when you have to get technical or you're showing a chart and everything like that, but, you know, make the chart very clear, and don't label everything. Make it very obvious what they're looking at. Large chart, don't put 6 charts on the slide, but one.
Yeah.
Address that one. And if you have multiple charts you want to talk about, then fine. That's another slide. So it's very, you know, slide that's, I did presentation, like I said, for Chesapeake, and working through investor presentations and trying to simplify that message is a challenge, because you've got the one side that wants, it's very, you know, Wall Street, and wants all the charts and all the data, and they geek out on that. And then you've got the other, you know, side who's like, man, I don't understand all that. I don't follow you. And so it's like trying to do a hybrid of two, where it's like, okay, let's make sure our message doesn't get lost in 8 slides on this page. So, and then also sometimes, and it also depends on, like, what there are 3 elements to a presentation. And you don't always need all 3, but you've got your presentation, which is the speaking part, which is you. You've got your slide deck, which is what's on the screen. And then you have a handout. So if it's so important that you want to put it on the slide, but it's too many words or it's non-confusing, that goes on the handout. And then the other element is, a lot of times, because a lot of reason why speakers put so much on the slide is because they don't know their presentation well enough. And it becomes, the presentation becomes the speaker's notes. Keynote and PowerPoint both have a speaker's note section. And you can put it on, if you want a confidence monitor in front of you, it does separate. So you could put a whole screen that only you can see that has your notes on it. Or you can print it out.
I love confident monitors.
Yes, they're the best. They're the best. It's like, hey, you know how long you could get, keeps your time. It shows you your slide. It shows you the slide, next slide coming up. So, and then obviously rehearse. Know your presentation and know, you know, hit it. So, and that was a hard thing for especially executives. Oh no, I'm just going to go out there. I can do this. It's like, okay, you're going to go out there and give a really, really bad presentation if you do not.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, like oftentimes I'm doing the same talk. So over time I've just kind of gotten it, but yeah, I'm not the best at rehearsing my talk, or at least going over my notes as much as I can, so I can become familiar with it. So the confidence monitor is only there if I completely forget.
Yeah.
But you know, oftentimes people don't even have confidence monitor. When I go speak places, like a confidence monitor is not something that's common. Yeah. In church world, you know, like if I go to the church, I'm typically good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't really speak in the churches. But other places they don't. And it's, sometimes it's not even something you can request because they just don't have access to it.
I guess you gotta bring your own, right?
Yeah, I'm just gonna start the monitor. I got my own confidence monitor. Oh man. That's another thing. Like, I just want to show up. I don't want to have to bring anything. I don't even have to bring, like, I was so thankful when, like, iCloud and Google, like, you can just pull it up.
Yep.
Your slides from there. Then you have to bring your, you know, but then you're talking technology. So sometimes it's good to just have that on a jump drive or something.
Oh, yeah. Just have your little, yep, ready to go.
Aubrey McClendon is one of the people, like, if I talk about Oklahoma City, I talk about Aubrey McClendon. Like,
right.
The things that Class and Curve, being a part of the Thunder, just so many things that I think legitimized Oklahoma City,
right,
to a certain degree. What was it, some things that you took away from him as a business person? Was there anything that you walked away with?
I didn't get to interact with him as much as I would have preferred, because I kind of started when everything was kind of getting a little dicey.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he had a high degree of confidence, and his nickname was Breezy. And they actually, at his funeral, one of the people that eulogized him brought that up, was just that he had that air about him, you know, that he just the command of the room, command of everything that, you know, he was working on. Business wise, I don't know what I would say that I would be like, yeah, I want to reproduce that.
Yeah.
But he did have a heart for his community and wanted to make, you know, his intentions that he had for Oklahoma City and for the campus and all that, and for the people that he employed, were noble, and just that spirit, like, you know, the wildcatter spirit. You got to get out and make some mistakes, and a lot of issues that people have out there is they just can't start.
Yeah.
And that would be one thing that if you looked at Aubrey, he definitely started and worked his tail off. Talk to anybody that knew, you know, knows him or knew of him, always has a wild story about him, and him riding his bike around like Hefner without a helmet. He told a story once where somebody was like, "Why aren't you wearing a helmet?" Or he brought it up. He's like, "Yeah, my wife wants me to wear a helmet, but I wear it when I leave the house, and then they just stuff it in the bushes and then go ride and then come back and grab it out of the bushes and put it back on." You're just like, okay, you know, you do you, Aubrey.
Yeah. Confidence is definitely something that, a lot of people just don't have, you know, and it can take you a long ways, but of course you just want to be, you want to use wisdom in that the best you can, and don't let it put you into too many circumstances that can be dicey. But
right,
that's what I think from other people that I know that have been around him, maybe not even knowing, but I think that's what they speak of, is just their confidence and the willing to start something.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to start, you know, how do you ever even know, you know, or how do you ever get down the road? And so that's good. So whenever you're thinking about all the different things that you do, how do you manage that? Are you a routine guy? Do you have some apps that you love? What does that look like for you to be able to manage all the things that you do?
Definitely not a routine guy. but no, I do. I have to write things down. I rely on my email pretty constantly. Because it is, I can forget things if it falls outside of the way I like to work. Don't love talking on the phone, because I like the paper trail. So that way I can remember, because I'll forget something. So it's like, what do we talk about? So that's, I love email and I love text and I like those forms of communication a lot. I mean, obviously talking to people is important from time to time, but from my own mental process, I kind of need that documentation so I remember what happened. Slack is my life. The restaurant group, I mean, we use Slack. Every employee, from a server, bartender, every kitchen staff member is all on Slack. And we communicate often on there. So I know, even no matter where I am, I know exactly what they prepped in the kitchen today because they write it out. So
now, why Slack over like something like Basecamp?
You know, I have not used Basecamp in years. We used Basecamp when I worked at Life Church. We used Basecamp a lot. But I think the main thing is, and I don't know if Basecamp has a free version, but you know, Slack just made sense. They have the native app and everything like that. So we didn't even consider Basecamp. And until you said it just now, I had totally forgotten about that. That's a great book. That Jason Fried, who created that.
He's got a
good book. Yep. Is that Rework? Yeah, it's a good book.
Yeah, Rework. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. I always bring up Basecamp. So recently, whenever I do these go-win circles and things of that nature, and I was trying to decide what I needed something to put each group in. And, of course, I ended up using Slack because somebody was like, well, nobody wants another app.
Yeah.
But, man, Slack is great because you have Campfire. And they've updated since Basecamp 2 or 1. I don't know which one you were on, but Basecamp 3 is so sweet. But not to sell you on Basecamp.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just, you know, you can have your docs and files there. You have pings there. You have your campfire there where everybody can kind of be talking to each other. And so Slack, email. So I'm not a big email guy. I'm bad at even checking my email, but everybody loves email. Well, not love it, but everybody finds a way to, but I feel like people don't even check their email, but that's, I guess.
No, it's true. It's true. That's why Slack's important because the easiest way to get in touch with my business partners is either via text or Slack. Email's like, oh yeah. And you know, I have too many alerts. I mean, I just got one from the news alert on my watch, and part of me is like, I just every day I go, oh, you know, I need to go through and turn off some alerts because I get way too many, and it's like, oh yeah, I'll get to that eventually, and then I get an alert, I'm like, oh, thanks. It's annoying because you know, those dopamine, I let those my dopamine receptors are on overload just with the number of alerts I get throughout the day.
I do need
to tame that for sure.
Yeah, I actually have really been trying to hone in, like, if you want to reach me, do it this way, because there's just so many things. I'm like, so one of my business partners, she sent me something, and I was like, I don't even know where you sent it. Like, I needed a file. She's supposed to send it to me. I was like, was it Basecamp? Was it email? Was it text message? Was it a DM through Messenger?
Yeah.
There's all these different places that now people send you stuff. I'm looking at the bottom of my screen on my doc in my app. Like, there's just so many different things. And, you know, it's hard to be efficient when you have so many, you know? And so, but yeah, I would love to really try to just navigate through one, but that's not easy because everybody has their way. You mentioned how you love to work versus the way everybody else loves to work.
Everybody has different. Yeah. I do think that Slack has really helped bridge that people who don't like email and people who like text and like that, you know, be able to search and say, okay, what did we talk about? Or, oh, what was that information? Being able to do that, Slack has really done a great job of bridging, I think, those two people. So I do enjoy Slack from the archive feature of it, because I don't delete an email. I know a lot of people who, like, once they read an email, they delete it, and I'm like, how can you do that? I don't.
Yeah.
Unless it's junk, unless it's like
yes,
a Twitter alert or some sort of junk mail, then yeah, I'll delete that. But man, if I don't delete an email, like if you and I were emailing about something, but and you came to me 10 years from now and said, "Hey, do you have that?" I'd be like, "Yeah, I have that email."
Yeah, let's search it.
Yeah, it's in there. I mean, it's like what I paid Google $2 a month or something like that to have as more storage than I would ever need. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So, do you use the Gmail app for your email?
Yeah. I'm grandfathered in. So back when it was Google Apps. So yeah, I have like my John Ochin email is the G Suite, and I don't have to pay for it because I'm grandfathered in when it was free. But yeah, I use the G Suite for sure. We use that across all the restaurant group and stuff like that. And so we have the drive, like Google, we use the drive, and when the drive talks to Slack. So menu files and different files that, you know, maybe a manager needs to print new menus or something like that. It's all within the G Suite and the drive. And then you can also access it through Slack. And so it's just easy to be able to share files within that system.
We recently, Google Drive is great. Google, their product is great to me. Yeah. I mean, I really like it. However, I use Apple. So then, you know, that's a completely different ecosystem. And we have these two egos, but I'm like, why can't we just play together well? Because if my friends who have Android, and we could, I'm like, work together within our text messages, that would be so bomb. That would be fabulous. So tell me, what do you do when you procrastinate? What's your procrastination thing? Like, you know, you need to be getting something done. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm going to go ride my bike. even though I hate it, I'm going to hop on. I'm going to see what crazy stuff's being said on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because because I like to torture myself a little bit. You're like, uh-huh. Oh, God, why did I do that? Why?
Yeah. Because you never know what you'll hear on Facebook. Yeah. So
I've curated my feed pretty good. So I generally know what I'm going to get now. But it's there for a while. It was pretty hairy. You're like, oh, now I'm depressed.
It was crazy. Well, if you got a billboard, I got one last question. If you had a billboard and everybody in the world was going to be able to drive by it and see it, what is it going to say?
Oh, God. I mean, I hate it. I mean, it's like, I love the phrase love wins. And we can bleep this out. I think my statement, I have one rule in life, and it's a little crass, but it's like, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. It's like anything you think about, it's like, oh, I'm going to argue with this waitress because she messed up my order. Oh, wait, I got to go back to my one rule. Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I think, oh, I'm going to make some snide comment on one of these social media apps. Oh, wait, no, what's my rule? Oh, no, I can't. So, yeah, so I would say the love wins is a much more appropriate one, because I think it's if you come back to that, and even if you disagree with someone, if you could, it's like, oh, wait, love wins. I don't agree with this person. However, it's okay. You know, I don't have to, you know, like, it's okay.
That's so good.
And I think we miss that a lot. I don't know what's going on with this world right now. A lot of it I'm so confused about. The mindset of people right now, I'm just like, y'all have lost your minds. And because it's like, we're all the same. We're all just trying to make it through the day. And so I think it's important that everybody just step back and say, you know what? I'm cool. You're cool. Love wins. Let's figure this out together. And I think we would be a lot better off.
That's good, John. That's good. How can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, and Instagram. I'm highly Googleable. I have a YouTube channel that I haven't updated in several years, but it'll entertain you. If you want to learn how to cook bacon or shine your shoes, I've got some videos up there for that. John Ochin, Johnotgen on there. So yeah, follow away. Awesome. I hope to not disappoint you.
Hey, if he does, just remember, love wins. Just love him.
Love wins. Love wins. Hey. It is possible I may offend you from time to time, but it's not intentional.
That's right. That's
or maybe it is. I don't know.
That's good. Hey, John, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was awesome.
For spending some time with me and being able to have a go-in conversation with me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for hitting that play button for another episode of the Heady Coleman Podcast. Make sure you go follow John. Remember, love wins. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, as always, go win.